Hey, you're so welcome to Open Arms Church. My name is Sean Booth and the pastor here. And we're excited because our location in Newbridge and Kildare has fully reopened with live worship, live preaching. We've got kids ministry. So we're going to be open every Sunday, 10:30 and 12:30. And all you have to do is just book in your place, book your seat on openarms.ie. And it's pretty simple to do. And also in terms of our Dublin location, as you know, the restrictions have been changing. It's been fluid and we're monitoring that along with the hotel in Leopardstown. So we will continuously be updating you on when we can get back to regular services. But the great news is that we are pursuing a permanent building in South Dublin, which is great. And we just ask that you'd pray for favor, pray for open doors. We've identified some options. We've even put down an offer on one particular place that we think is perfect. So we just ask that you please pray for favor, pray for open doors. If we've identified a number of options, we've even put an offer down on one particular location. So just pray that it will go through smoothly if it's what God has for us. And of course, we're going to be letting you know all about that over the coming weeks. But I want you to know that our teams have been praying for you, praying for your family, praying that you would experience the goodness and mercy of God every single day, no matter what's going on around you, no matter what the circumstances, that you would know that God is with you, He is for you, and He is the one who will remain constant even through this great season of change. But today we're continuing on in our series in week three, and our series is called Good News. And we know that for these last number of months, we've been experiencing and hearing so much bad news, news that is causing us to be upset at times, to be frustrated, to even be disappointed greatly. And I believe that God says, I have good news. Amen. That in His Word, we can see that He has got good news available to us through His Word that we can receive today. And so together, we're going on a journey. And we're going on a journey through the book of Colossians. And Colossians is in the New Testament. It is a letter, an epistle that's very short, only four chapters long. And it's written by a man called Paul. Many know him as Apostle Paul or Saint Paul. And even though it's a short book, very few chapters, it is filled with such hope and truth and practical principles that we can apply to our lives. So today, we're going through Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, if you want to turn with me there in your Bibles. And we see that Paul, he's writing here to a town called Colossae. Colossae was a town in which this new Christian congregation had been birthed by a man named Epaphras. And this congregation is beginning to be formed and they're becoming passionate. They're growing, they're flourishing. And so Paul writes to them to encourage them, to strengthen them, their faith, but also to make sure that they're believing the truth of the gospel and they know what is truth compared to what may be fake or what may be false. And so we begin in verse 3. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. So on week one, we saw that the gospel is alive. The gospel is both heard and seen through our lives, through our faith in action, through our love for others. And we see that the gospel is both shown and seen through our works and our words as we are the bringers of good news. And Paul continues that they are praising God because they have heard, verse 5, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. So last week we saw that the gospel is true. It is the true message of the gospel. We saw that our hope does not originate from what we have here on earth or what's going on around us, but our hope is stored up for us in heaven. Amen. That is the origination of our hope. That's where our faith and our love come from this. And we too, as Christians, as believers, as bringers of the good news, that we're not just to hold on to this hope, but to share this hope with the rest of the world, that they too may experience the hope that we have. And so he continues in verse 6, and this is where we're going to be focusing on today, verses 6 through 8. In the same way, the gospel, the good news, is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So here's the title of my message today. Good news, the gospel is growing. The gospel is growing. And today, I really believe that this message is going to grow your faith and it's going to grow your knowledge and your understanding of God and who He is. This is a teaching that's going to help strengthen your theology and also just strengthen your faith and your belief in the truth of the good news. And in verse 6, we see that Paul says the gospel is bearing fruit and it's growing. It is growing both through Colossae, but also throughout the whole world. And we see that this is an echo of the Old Testament of when God says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, speaking to Adam, He says, be fruitful and increase in number. He's saying, be fruitful and grow. You know, my grandparents, they really took this to heart, that it was their mission in life to be fruitful and increase and grow, as they had 12 sons and daughters. 12, one of which was my dad, and 14 in a family. I can't even begin to imagine what it would have been like. I've got three. And I struggle as it is. Oftentimes, I forget their date of birth. Yeah. I forget their names at times. I'm like, Levi, no Liam, no Isaac. Jillian, during lockdown, she was joking about a fourth. And I was like, no way. I was like, social distancing, babe. I'm like, yeah. It only worked for a little while. But it's not even the financial cost. It's the energy management. You've got to have eyes in the back of your heads. You always got to know where they are, what they're doing. Because if you take your eyes off them, it'd be like one of them is up on top of the roof. One of them is hanging out the window. One of them is throwing stones at the neighbor's car, which unfortunately happens all the time. But just the other day, my youngest son, Isaac, he's 2. And we've been, you know, getting nice things for the garden. The weather has been nice. So Jill bought this nice, you know, steel colored flamingo. And one day I went out to find that he'd broken the head off the flamingo and he'd taken it and he was smashing it against the car, just playing, you know, just like making, I don't know what he was trying to do, like draw stuff on the car. And I was like, no, stop it, please. But I can't imagine what 12 would have been like. That I don't even know how they survived through that. But here's the thing, is that great growth, which is amazing, but difficult to manage. Yeah. We all experience this in our lives. We go for great growth, we go for increase, but it can be extremely difficult to manage. Yeah. I think you'd all agree with me when I say that it's not just difficult to grow, but to keep growing, to manage what you have already grown and to build upon that, to continue to grow on what has already been grown. You know, oftentimes we feel like whether it's in our physical lives or emotional or mental health, whatever it is, it can feel like there's so much pressure upon us as we feel this pressure to grow, but we're even struggling to manage what we have. And what I believe is God is calling us to grow and to grow deeper in Him, but He will give us the grace yes. to grow. If He is calling us to it, He will give us the grace to continue to grow in Him and to grow as a man and woman of God. But what I found is this, and we experience this great pressure. We experience this difficulty to grow. We do one of two things. The first thing is we choose to stop growing and we grow stale. And in fact, instead of growing forwards, we can often grow backwards. But here's the second thing, that the attitude and the decision that we can make is to search for a way to break out of this rut, to learn from others, to seek out others and seek out other ways in which I can break through what I'm facing and this difficulty and this pressure and to see growth in and through my life. And so as we talk about this subject, as we look at growing, I want to ask four questions. Four questions that we're going to ask in this scripture that we're going to learn and apply the answers to our lives so that we can grow as Christians and as men and as women. So firstly, here's my first question, is where is the gospel growing? Where is the gospel growing and where is God calling me to grow? Verse 6, Paul says the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. So we see that the gospel is global. It stretches out to the four corners of the earth, and it is for everyone. It is an inclusive gospel, not an exclusive gospel. That means that the gospel breaks through all boundaries, regardless of ethnic, geographic, economic, cultural, and political boundaries. The gospel breaks through all. So that means that we as Christians, we are part of the global church. That means that we're part here in Ireland, we're part of the church in Africa, the church in Asia, the church in America and Antarctica, wherever it is. We are one because we are united in Jesus Christ. So the gospel is growing globally and the gospel is growing locally. Paul says, just as it has been doing among you. So as Christians, that means we're part of a global church and we're also part of a local church. The Message translates this verse like this. The message bears fruit. The gospel bears fruit and gets larger and stronger just as it has in you. So the gospel is to grow among us as a community and is to grow within us as individuals. So where is God calling us to grow? He's calling us to grow within, from the inside out. The second question is this. When do we begin to see this growth? Well, back to Colossians 1:6. So the gospel is growing, it's bearing fruit, growing throughout the whole world globally, just as it has been doing among you locally, both as a community and within you, since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So let's just break this down for a second. This first began since the day you heard it. We see that the gospel is heard. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ, hearing the truth of the gospel of grace. Now, what can be hard to hear and receive in this is that this truth is not selective. We cannot decide what is truth for you and what is truth for me, but there is one truth and one truth for all. Just as Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body, one spirit, one church, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The truth of the gospel that the church in Colossae heard was the same gospel that all of the churches around the world were hearing and preaching and receiving. You know, the Christian gospel is not a Catholic gospel or a Protestant gospel or a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal gospel. The Christian gospel is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the truth that is heard through our faith and seen through our love for others and bears fruit within those who receive it. And it is continued to grow strong and not to grow stale. So we see that the gospel is heard. Secondly, he says, since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Secondly, the gospel is not just to be heard. The gospel is to be understood. Well, what is to be understood? Quite simply, God's grace. The gospel of grace can be summed up best in Ephesians 2 verse 8. It says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. The gospel is a gift. It is freely given to us, and we receive the saving power of God and his grace, not simply by asking Jesus into our heart, but by hearing the truth, truly understanding the truth, by receiving the truth, then believing in the truth, placing our faith in the truth, and asking Jesus into our heart. You see, it's a response that goes beyond an emotional reaction, but it is an intentional decision. It is to be understood so that it can be received and received by a heart that is open to see and open to hear. Just like Jesus said, when he was talking about the healthy and fertile soil that the seed is to be planted in, when it's planted in healthy soil, it will flourish and grow and bear fruit. When he was talking in the parable of the seed, he's saying that when we truly understand the gospel, not when we just hear it and we go to church and we read our Bible and we follow all the religious practices of the day, but when we understand it for ourselves, when we know it is like a seed being planted in healthy soil that will grow and flourish. It will multiply exponentially and will what? It will produce fruit. Our response to the gospel should be both an intellectual and an emotional decision. both through our head and our heart. Why? Because, you know, sometimes my head may not understand it all just yet. I'm trying to wrap my head around some of these theological dichotomies, but my heart knows it to be true. I know it in my heart. I may not truly understand every aspect of it, but my heart knows to be true. The same way, my head may know that it's true. I know that God is for me. I know I should have faith. I know that no weapon formed against me should prosper, but my heart has taken time to believe it. We as Christians and believers, we are both to hear the truth and understand the truth. And we're to preach the truth through our words and our actions and pray that God will prepare an open heart to see, to receive, and to hear, to listen, and understand. The gospel and God's word, it's not just for information, to simply continue to grow in our knowledge of God, but it is for transformation. That we as Christians, whether we've just come to know Jesus or whether we've been Christians for many, many years, is that we will continue to receive new life, that we'll continue to receive transformation, a new purpose, a new direction, a new attitude, a new behavior, growing from the inside out. So here's the third question. How? How do we grow in the gospel and allow the gospel to grow in us? Well, verse 7, he says it like this. He says, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. You see, the gospel is learned. We see that during Paul's ministry in Ephesus, this a large strategic city that he built an influential church, and it is believed that in that time during his ministry, he met this man, Epaphras. And Paul discipled Epaphras. He taught him the way of Jesus. He taught him how to be a Christ follower. And in Epaphras, he then traveled to Colossae, where he preached the gospel, and he began to form a community that became a church that became passionate about Jesus. And it was through Epaphras that this small Christian community learned the true message of the gospel of grace. It was taught to them and they listened. They heard and they received. They listened to what was being taught and what was being said. And then what happened was they grew in their knowledge and their understanding of Jesus. They then chose to believe in it and then to live it out as a follower of Jesus. You see, as Christians, we are followers of Jesus. Jesus, in fact, called his followers as his disciples. That we are disciples of Jesus. So as Christian is not just a label that you place on yourself because that's part of my cultural or I attend this church or that church. I am a Christian means I am a follower of Jesus. Yeah. I am a disciple of Jesus. What is a disciple? A disciple is a student, a learner, an apprentice. Someone who learns from someone else who is beyond them in knowledge, skill, and trade. And as Christians, as followers, as disciples of Jesus, we are to be learners of the gospel, that we live our lives in such a way that we grow and we progress in our knowledge and our experience of the gospel of Jesus. It's both our knowledge and our experience that come together through word and spirit, knowing that we, at times, we can feel so dry that we become completely full of the Holy Spirit. That is experiencing Jesus in our lives. And other times, we can be so wavering that we need to come back to the foundational truth that's found in his word. But we, as Christians, must be continuing to learn and to grow. You know, my dad left school and he went to be an apprentice in carpentry and later in engineering. And because of this, that when I was growing up, any time that we were doing anything together, whether it was fixing something or moving something or sorting something out, he would always say, now, Sean, he would treat me like an apprentice. And he would say, now watch how I do this. See the movements and what I'm doing here. And then he'd say, you see why I'm doing this. And then he would get me to do it and he would comment on how I might be able to improve and to grow and to be able to do it better. And what he did is he taught me how to learn. He taught me how to be a curious observer to watch how I might be able to grow in what I'm doing and in how I'm doing it. And I believe that that is what an apprentice is that's what we are called as Christians to be apprentices. You see, a Christian stops growing when they lose the desire to learn. That's what happens. I love how the Message translates verse 6. He says, from the very first day you heard and recognized the truth of what God is doing, you've been hungry for more. We are to be hungry for more of God, to have a desire so that we can continue to grow in Him, that we continue to love Him deeper and receive His love like never before, and that He would grow in us. Yeah. That as followers, as disciples, as apprentices, we are to be observant in how we can learn and how we can grow. That's why I love the church. Because it's not just about Jesus and me. It's not just about how I can grow in me and my own life. But as I open myself up to a community, I may see things in other people. I may see how I can be a greater husband because I value someone else in way they're following Jesus as a husband or as a father or as a man or as a youth, as a young person, whatever it is. I can see how Jesus has been modeled in their lives. I can observe it, and then I too can apply it to my own life. Not only has Jesus called us to be disciples, but in Matthew 28, He has commissioned all of us, not just the pastors or the ministers or the leaders, but all of us, every single one of us. In Matthew 28:19, He says, therefore, as disciples, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, we are both apprentices, learners, and we are coaches, mentors, pastors, and teachers, and disciplers. Yeah. You are a discipler. You are called to be a coach, to be a pastor, to be a mentor within your sphere of influence. It might begin at home. It might be in your community or in your workplace, in your place of education. It might be to one, and it might be to many. I want to ask you a few questions today and challenge you in this. Who are you discipling? Who are you gathering alongside you? Just like my dad did with me in a very simple and practical ways, but teaching through those tools and through those principles, how to learn and how to grow. Who are you discipling? Who are you training and teaching, coaching and pastoring? If no one, why don't you take a moment just to write down a name and someone who you could. Maybe someone who you can begin praying for. Someone who you can begin reaching out to and connecting with. Maybe it's someone who you know that you need to meet them for coffee. You know that they might be struggling, or they might be so excited to grow and they don't know how to. But you, the little that you may have, you may be able to give to them to help them. And here's the second question. As a disciple, as a learner, an apprentice, are you hungry for more? Are you committed to learn and grow and develop more as a man and as a woman, as a husband and as a wife, as a father, as a mother, maybe simply as a friend, as a neighbor, as a student, as a worker, and ultimately to grow in your knowledge and your understanding and your experience in Jesus, and you grow in your understanding of His word. So this gospel, the most powerful and effective truth that has ever existed, that produces great fruit and great growth in our lives. But our final question is this. Well, what does this look like? What does it look like? Well, verse 8, it says, and Epaphras also told us of your love in the Spirit. The evidence of the gospel at work in us is through the fruitfulness of love that is evident both inwardly and outwardly. You know, many people measure the effectiveness of a church or of a Christian is by how big it is and how great the works that they do. But we truly should be measuring the effectiveness of both the church and the Christian by the fruit that they bear and how they're growing more to be like Jesus. In Galatians 5:22, Paul outlines the fruits of the Spirit, and we see that love is the first and most important fruit of the Spirit. This love in the Spirit is a love that flows out of the Spirit at work and within us. This is a love that is a fruit that's produced from our growth in the gospel and the gospel growing in us. Now, who is this love for? Is this love simply just for us to enjoy? Well, the Living Bible translates verse 8, it says, we have heard of the great love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. And that is what is important. This love is not manufactured or manipulated, but it is made possible through the Spirit. The Spirit gives us this love. It flows from within us. In Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, Paul describes what we were like before we became followers of Jesus. He says that our spirit was dead in our sin, seeking to gratify the cravings of our flesh and follow its self-serving desires and thoughts. But when we place our faith in Jesus, when we become his disciples, we no longer seek to serve ourselves, but now we seek to serve others. Yeah. Our life now becomes others focused. Yeah. And it's through both loving and serving both Jesus and others that we bear fruit in our lives. Love for others flows out of our love for Jesus and his love for us. This love is not just an emotion. You don't just need to feel it, but this love is an action. Yes. And it is an attitude that comes from the Holy Spirit. Yes. Christian love is a decision to act in the best interest of others, oftentimes sacrificing the needs of yourself. It is to place others above yourself. Yes. The question today is, what about you? Do you feel stuck in a rut? Do you feel like your faith has grown stagnant and stale? Well, maybe the Lord is calling you forward to look beyond yourself and to look to others. Maybe he's calling you to restart that flow that you've been receiving the love of the Spirit, but now you need to allow that to flow out to others, to love others and serve others. Maybe he's looking to replace some of the cold areas within your heart that you just become comfortable with and give you a new love, give you a new heart with a desire to love and serve others even beyond yourself. You know, there's nothing worse than a stale, smelly, and stagnant pond. One that has no movement. One that has no flow. One that just simply sits there existing. But a river that flows produces fresh water. Living water. And here's the thing. Everything that water touches begins to grow. All of the plants and the trees that feed off this water begins to flourish, and they too begin to bear fruit and grow. How would you describe your life right now? How would you describe your heart? Is it one that's full of love for others, that's flowing out of you and flowing, producing fruit, not just in yourself, but in others? Or is it like a stagnant pond? Why don't you pray with me right now that we'd ask the Lord together, hey, I need help in this. Lord, will you fill me with your love? I can't make this up. I can't manufacture, but I need your Spirit within me to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Yes. Allow my heart to overflow with the love of Jesus. Give me a desire to grow in the gospel of grace, to be a learner, to be a disciple of Jesus, to be one who also disciples others. Give me a desire to love and serve others. Reveal to me who you are calling me to serve. Maybe as we pray, maybe you need to come to God and say, I need to first forgive. I need to first remove maybe some bitterness that has grown up in me that's actually blocking the flow, that is stopping the love of Jesus flowing through me to others. And pray, give me your grace, Lord. Because it's him who gives us his grace, his undeserved favor to forgive, to love and to serve and to care for others and be the follower of Jesus that he has called us to be. Have you never committed your life to Jesus? You never accepted him as your Lord and your Savior? I want to give you the opportunity right now. Maybe you're feeling like your life has become so difficult, so under pressure at all times. I believe that through Jesus, you can experience an abundance of grace and mercy and love like never before. I'm not saying he's going to sort your whole life out and sort everything out, but he can begin within you, yes, growing within you, yes, that will begin to bear fruit and grow around you. Yes. Hey, I want to invite you right now. We're going to pray a very, very simple prayer, a prayer of surrender, a prayer of salvation, a prayer that I prayed many years ago and many of us in our church and in this room prayed. Would you just join with me and say, Jesus, I'm drawing close to you. I acknowledge that you're my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Lead my life. Forgive me. Heal me. And help me to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, we'd love to connect with you and celebrate with you. And what I'd love you to do is just very simply go to openarms.ie/connect. And there you'll see a very simple form where you just fill out some of your details and tick the box, I'm committing my life to Jesus. If you have any other need whatsoever, you'll see a place there also to be able to fill that out. That gets sent through to our team, and we'll contact you straight away this week with an email updating you and inviting you to a class that we call Next Steps. It's a place over Zoom that we can connect with you, hear your story, be able to pray with you and hear a little bit about you and us to be able to connect with you. But as we get ready to enter into one more song of worship, let me just pray for us today. God, I pray for anyone right now who's just feeling in that place that they feel like they cannot grow to where you're asking them to, that maybe feeling that there is something that's blocking the flow through their life, that it will not even allow them to love and to serve beyond themselves. Well, God, right now, I pray that you would pour out your grace upon them. I pray that you would give them the grace like never before to be able to love like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.